Alrighty. Of course, the exam is still open, so I won't comment on the exam till, I think it closes tonight, right? Yeah, so I won't comment on it till, you have sound? Good. I won't comment on it till after, probably next week sometime. If you would, in your books, because I want you to follow me along my book, because I want you to get your pens. We're going to underline some stuff that I do not want you to miss out of this particular chapter. Chapter 6, page 47, The Power of Covenant. Last week, I began to explain what covenant was. Remember, not last week, week before last. Remember the example of the farmers and the hunters, how a covenant is really an elimination of weaknesses. Two parties come together, and the purpose of the parties coming together, two or more, the purpose of the parties coming together is to eliminate weaknesses so that everyone becomes stronger once the covenant is made. And I gave an example of the farmers and the hunters, how the hunters could get meat, could protect. The farmers knew how to grow agriculture. The farmers didn't know how to protect themselves, didn't know how to hunt. Hunters didn't know how to grow any fruit. It wasn't very agricultural. Come together, there's elimination of weaknesses. Now the farmers got fruit and vegetables, and now the farmers have protection and they have meat. So it's elimination of weaknesses. And I gave that illustration to understand how we have covenant with each other and with God. There's an elimination of weaknesses. You'll see in your class, the culture of honor. This is the reason why we have to create a culture of honor, because everybody that comes to the body of Christ brings something to the table. Everybody. All right. Everybody that's in the kingdom brings something to the table. And so if we don't have a culture of honor in place, what is a culture? A culture is the unwritten rules that make society go. This is why I have no problem with culture. Layla, my daughter, plays fast pitch softball, and just truthfully, fast pitch softball, there are not a lot of black people in fast pitch softball. Just not a lot. Just be honest. And so a lot of times Chattel and I are one of the few black people that are out there. And so when we have conversations, we have different cultures. There's nothing wrong with being different. The problem is when people try to change each other's culture. That's what a culture of honor has to be present, because when I come into your house, I have to respect your culture, your unwritten rules that make your society go in your house, what makes your house functions. Yeah, you get that. So that's why we have to create a culture of honor in the church, so that when people with certain gifts come into the kingdom, they're not disrespected. They're not discounted. They're not undermined. So same for that, is that we're able, because of the culture of honor, we're able to recognize gifts in the body of Christ. We're able to recognize an apostle when an apostle shows up. We're able to recognize an evangelist. We're able to recognize a teacher. We're able to recognize a pastor because of this culture of honor. Are you seeing this? So in this culture of honor, it's necessary for covenant to be strong, because without an agreement, without a common cause, without a common goal, without a common agenda, nothing will happen. So that's why it's an elimination of weaknesses. The farmer, the hunters, us along with God. I begin to talk about God has a self-imposed weakness. Now that's a powerful statement. Self-imposed. That means he gave himself a limitation. What is his limitation? He cannot, listen to me, that he cannot do nothing in the earth realm unless he goes through a human or has a flesh body. This is why the Bible says, and the word, John 1, became what? Flesh. Nobody else could die on the cross sinless. Sinless to take on the sins of the world. Only God himself. So his son, Jesus, who is a part of the triune, became flesh. That's why he was able to walk on this earth and down the cross for our sins and become the redemption of man, because he became flesh. If he hadn't become flesh, that's impossible. You can't redeem man. Watch this. Man could not be redeemed in the spirit alone. Why? Because man didn't mess up in the spirit. Man messed up in the flesh. Are y'all getting this? So our covenant with God is self-imposed. He cannot do anything in earth realm unless he has a flesh suit, body, or he's working through somebody with one. All right. That's it. Now, I don't need to, as I said the time we met before, I don't need to tell you how many limitations we have. We'll be here all night talking about our limitations, our weaknesses. And so here it is. God is cutting covenant with us through the blood of Jesus for a common goal. That is to recreate, watch this, to recreate what he originally started. If you ever want to know your purpose, all you got to do is go back to Genesis. I don't care how you walk in your purpose. If you want to know what is my purpose, go back to the garden. Your purpose, listen, you're not going to forget this. Your purpose is to dispel darkness. What I mean by dispel darkness, anywhere there is trouble, anywhere there is darkness, things not working right, I as a Christian, I as a child of God, I as a son of God, I'm light. Whenever I show up, darkness should disappear. So now you can get into the nuts and bolts of am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I supposed to be this? Am I supposed to, all I know is whatever you do, wherever you go, darkness is supposed to be dispelled. Are you seeing this? And so tonight we're going to talk about covenant a little more. We're going to talk about the power of covenant and why it's important that we understand why we should be in covenant. God cannot, listen to me very clearly, because we serve an awesome, sovereign, almighty God. But God will not do anything in the earth realm unless he has a man or woman willing to cooperate with him. He won't do it. Because watch this. If God would do something without the intervention, without man being involved, there's no need for man. So now, if God doesn't need us, listen to me. If God doesn't need us, then where is love? So now we can't love God like he loves us. Because if no matter what we do, are you hearing me? Yes, sir. So you're understanding why our covenant is important. Because in order for him to, he said it himself. He said, I've given you dominion. Genesis. I've given you dominion over fish of the sea, a fowls of the air. I gave you dominion. What I gave you dominion for? I gave you dominion. You're made in my image. I've given you dominion so that you can go into dark places and create light. Are you seeing this? So I have to, in order for me to create light, listen to me, in order for me to be an agent of change, that's light. Other words, when I show up someplace, change should take place. In order for me to be the agent of change, a catalyst of change, something, when I step into a place, it was going one way, now it's changing to another, to somewhere else, or something else. When I do that, in order for me to do that, I have to be connected to the one who can cause change. Is this making sense? So this is why he told Abraham, I'm a bless those that bless you. I'm a curse those that curse you, and to all the families of the earth be what? Be blessed. He began to cut covenant with Abram. He did not finish that covenant. Watch this. He did not finish ultimately cut covenant with Abraham until he knew he had Abraham's heart. Can I tell you how he knew he had Abraham's heart? I don't want to tell you. Let's go to Genesis. I want you to read it. Genesis 14, latter part of Genesis 14. This is when he knew he had Abraham's heart. Because in order for covenant to take place, it cannot be just an exchange of skills. It has to be an exchange of hearts. What you want, I want. What I want, you want. Genesis, the 14th chapter. Verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, meaning Abram, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, and of the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. Verse 18, very important. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and this is important, and he was the what? Priest of who? Most High God, right? Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, meaning Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, what? Tithes of all, 10% of everything he had. Now, this is important, all right? This is important. Then we go on and in verse, he back. Now, I thought it strange that Abram put those kings on pause, put one set of kings on pause to refer to another one. Because you got to remember, the king of Sodom showed up first. You got to understand this. The king of Sodom, who Abraham went to get some of his people back, and help them out in the process. So we're talking about a natural king. In the midst of that natural king coming, Abraham had to put him on pause. Say, I'm gonna be back with you. Let me go talk to this king of Salem, meaning the king of peace. Let me talk to him. Then next thing you know, Melchizedek shows up. Now watch this. Go to Hebrews the 7th chapter, because I need you to see this. This is important. Talking about covenant. Talking about what it takes to understand the power of covenant, what it's going to take. Keep your fingers down. Let's go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. This is important that you see this. Hebrews 7. Verse 1. Watch what it says. For this Melchizedek, king of what? So what Melchizedek is referring to? Same Melchizedek that was in Genesis, right? The reason why it's spelled different is because Old Testament written in, there you go, New Testament written in Greek. That's the difference of the spelling. Same person though. Watch this. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth. Part of all. I mean, so that's proof that Abraham would tithe me, a tenth of all, right? First being interpretation, the king of righteousness, also king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Verse 3 is what I want you to see. Without father, describing Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So, other words, this Melchizedek was God. So let's go back to Genesis. I want you to see something. Let's go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. So now we look at the 18th verse and we see Abraham giving him tithe to Melchizedek, right? Then the king of Sodom comes in and give me the person to take the goods to thyself. Abraham, verse 22, Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich. All right, now that's another story of why Abraham did that. There's a very specific reason. If you go back further in the 13th chapter, you see that Abraham, because of famine, ran to Egypt. Pharaoh gave him all that stuff and forgot to take it back. So Pharaoh taking claim that he made Abram rich. Are you seeing this? So Abraham now understanding that was the mercy of God, not the grace of God. There's a difference. The mercy of God that caused him to be rich, but it still was God. Because who in their right mind going to give you a gift for something, then realize they can't have what they gave you the gift for, You get the gift back, and they don't ask for their gift back. I'm not talking too fast. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So now here we are, Abraham making a statement. God is getting credit for this. All right. Watch this. And he tells him, verse 24, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Anna, Esco, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now, 15 verse 1 is what I want you to see. The first word, after. Other words, this would not have taken place. Listen to me, internet. This would not have taken place if what happened before this had not taken place. If Abraham had not acknowledged Melchizedek and tithe, then God wouldn't have showed up in this verse. Watch what he said. After these things, what happened? The word of who? The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham didn't go on, verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now there's a reason for this. There's a reason why Abram is asking for an heir. It's because, listen very carefully. Abraham wanted somebody born out of his house so he can pour himself into, so that covenant can take place, so that whatever him and God about to do can continue. All right. So watch this. This is why an exchange of hearts have to take place. Because if an exchange of hearts are not taking place, then you're going to be trying to use the power of God for your agenda. And people get in trouble for that all the time. And we're going to start getting into a few minutes of why the church is ineffective in today's society. Why the church is ineffective. Yes, your life may be wonderful. God may be doing things for your life, but the church, the kingdom as a whole, is ineffective right now because we refuse to come into covenant. We refuse to have a common agenda. Everybody, that's why I kept talking about God-centric versus self-centric. Y'all seeing this now? You see how this coming together? See, once you become God-centric, according to Matthew 6:33, I don't have to worry about being self-centric. Because if I can figure out what God wants me to do and get it done, what are you going to do? Add all these things to me, right? Now watch this. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. He said, brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. Are you seeing this? Later in that chapter, you'll begin to see how God began to actually go through the process of cutting covenant with Abram. Now, watch this, what I want you to see. Here's how God knew it's that hard. Here's how God knew that Abraham was ready to go to the next level of covenant. Number one, he showed up, God showed up, and Abraham began to give him what he had. Now, let me prove something to you. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. He began to give him a tenth of what everything. God, look, you gave me this. God, look, a tenth of all I have. Watch with Matthew, the 6th chapter. Watch this 6th chapter, I think it's 21st verse. This is Jesus talking. He says, watch this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, what God was telling Abram, listen to me very clearly. What God was telling Abram, he said, oh, I showed up to you and you turned around and gave me 10% of all you had. Now I know I can go to the 15th verse and I can be everything to you that I want to be to you. First thing Abraham's mind went to was, well, God, you can't give me all this stuff. You can't give me all this. Op- You can't give me all this assignment. You can't give me all this agenda. And I don't have nobody to pass it on to. Other words, why? What, watch this. What would make Abraham? Because see, in today's society, if God told us I'm your rapidly increasing money supply, we ain't think about nobody else. Let's be real. Lord, thank you for making me a millionaire. Lord, thank you for making me. Lord, thank you for just making me rich beyond reason. Abraham wasn't even concerned. He never said, okay, I'm good now. I have made it. The first thing out of Abraham's mouth, this is why God knew he had his heart. The first thing out of Abraham's mouth is, God, how are we going to continue this? God, how are we going to continue this? How is this going to go beyond me? How is this going to go? How can God, I want to have somebody under my influence that I can pour into, that when all this stuff, all this grace, all this anointing, all this money is passed on, I'm going to know your agenda is going to be in good hands. There has to be an exchange of hearts. Am I making sense? It has to be. And see, we get tripped up. We get tripped up because the reason why church is effective in a society is because we are not covenant minded. We are so prong on getting our problem solved without ever realizing that if we just decide that, God, I'm going to help you accomplish what you want to do, then God coming into our personal lives and do everything necessary to cause our lives to straighten up, to cause our lives to be easy where it was hard. Are y'all seeing this? Turn me to Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. And the 9th verse. We talked about communication strategy and purpose last time we were together, and how covenant strengthens those. All right. Here, watch this. Solomon is saying in this 12th, in his 9th verse. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not anyone to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The power of covenant, the power of us not only coming into covenant with God, but us coming into covenant with each other. It is necessary for that to happen for the kingdom of God to be effective in the earth realm. Without us coming in covenant, without us having a common agenda. That's why in Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, God told him, write the vision down, make it plain, so that he that readeth it may run with it. Other words, I want you to make it plain so that when whoever reads it can know where we are going. There could be one agenda. Are you seeing this? So whatever apostolic house you're in, you must know the agenda. If you don't know the agenda, then you're not going to fit. If you don't know the agenda, you will not be able to do Matthew 6:33. The reason why God called you to that particular apostolic house, whoever your leader may be, when he called you to that apostolic house, God knew there was something in you that the apostolic house needs. Right? But watch this. Listen to me very carefully. The apostolic house may need it, but if you don't want to provide it, God will find somebody else. So the question is, so the question you should be asking is, God, okay, God, you connected me here. Okay, God, begin to explain to me why. That's James 1 and 5. If any man what? Lack what? Wisdom. What to do? Let him ask of. Let him ask of God. A covenant relationship is so powerful that without it, without us having a covenant relationship with each other and without us having a covenant relationship with God, we are ineffective in the earth realm. If you ever want to know the original plan, what I told you to do, go back to Genesis. So you see what happened in Genesis. When Adam and Eve got disconnected from God, they became what? Ineffective. And watch this. God didn't change. They still was going in the outer darkness. This time they was going ineffective. So without us having covenant with God, without us having covenant with each other, we will be effective in the earth realm. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, watch this. The author did an excellent job. We're going to go piece by piece over this, of what happens. And I'm going over this on purpose so you can, our society, you can look at our society, what we live in, specifically for us that are here in the United States. You can look at our society and you're going to see some parallels. You're going to see some comparison. You're going to be able to, you're going to say, oh, okay, I understand now why this is happening. Underline this in your book. Very important. Page 49. Internet, page 49. I want you to underline this in your book. The only way, page 49, after the first two scriptures, you got Isaiah 59 and 16, and Isaiah 59, 21, then this statement. The only way to overrule the decay, decline, and destruction is to raise up a company who knows the power and operate on it. Y'all saw that? So without understanding the power of covenant and how to operate in covenant, destruction, decline, and decay is hitting the system. It's already started. You got all the different denominations. You got all these different ideas and churches being started, and nobody has a common agenda. Here's their common agenda, and I beg to differ, because they Jesus wasn't even talking to the whole world when he said that. When Jesus told, you know how they use it, we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to the disciples. And what he would tell the disciples, because you got to realize, in the book of Acts, all those disciples that stuck with him became apostles. Apostles are to train us about the agenda of God. The other officers equip them on how to go out and do. You're going to learn that in the culture. You learn that in the culture of honor. Are you seeing this? So when we start talking about covenant, we start talking about the process of decline. All these different ideas, all the different denominations, they become self-centered. You know why? Denominations start, right? Because man want to stay in control. No, denominations breeds religion. What is religion? Religion is man's idea about who God is. That's what religion is. Man's idea about who God is. Religion and denominations go hand in hand, because now you got man's idea about who God is. And if you don't agree with my idea, then I'm going to start my own. And no power, no changed lives, just going through the motions. and what? Denying the power. Are you seeing this? Without, see, God, he said in Isaiah, go to Isaiah 55, 11. I'm not even going to get too far. I see this now. We're going to get too far in 59. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 11. What it say? So the words that go forth out of the mouth of God, right? Those words are the ones that are going to prosper. Those words are the ones he's going to follow. Those words are going to accomplish what he designed them to do, right? So if my words don't line up with his, I may be speaking wrong words because of ignorance. I may be speaking wrong words because these are the words I want to speak. Or let me make it more plain. I may be performing what I think God wants me to perform instead of me performing what I know God wants me to perform. Are you seeing this? So God is only going to back up, listen to me, internet, God is only going to back up what he has ordained. With my ideas about what God wants, I can go and try to do them, but that don't mean I'm going to get results. This is what's happening to the church. The church is trying to go into darkness with their own light. There's no apostolic agenda. Everything about what God wants to do. Are y'all saying this? So what has to happen is the apostolic government of God has to regain its power. What I mean by apostolic? Apostles who have the ear of God. This is something proven biblically throughout the whole Bible. Listen, we didn't know how to get born again until when? Jesus was messing with Nicodemus. Nicodemus ain't know what to think messing around with Jesus. I must be born again. What, Jesus? What did that mean? And Jesus must have tried to explain it to him, but Jesus on another level, he couldn't understand. So Paul, the apostle Paul, in Romans 10, 8, 9, see, Jesus, watch this. Jesus really had compassion on people, but his mind was on. So Jesus, Nicodemus say, he came to me and I need to be born again. Jesus said, you got to be born again. He said, what do you mean I got to get in my mother's womb? I don't understand it. Then the Apostle Paul comes along and said, if you confess with your mouth, believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou what? So all of us got born again because of what Jesus did on the cross and what Paul told us to do. That is an agenda. Watch this. That is a doctrine that is stapled in the church. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, Paul told us how to do it. So now nobody can come in, watch this. Nobody can come in talking about agenda, talking about apostolic order, apostolic government. Nobody can come in and tell us any other way to get born again. Can't do it. Establish that. Which now led to every last one of us getting born again. Are you saying this? So if we don't have apostolic order, what I mean by apostolic order, God's government in place, his divine order in place, us coming, can I help you real quick? Can I help you? One of the things that helped me with Apostle Thompson is I tell myself this. I tell myself this, so I don't have, nobody else don't have to tell me this. I don't get offended when nobody else tell me this. My ego don't jump out. I'm about to tell you what he said. I don't have to worry about impressing nobody. I don't worry about my pride. I don't worry about my ego when I tell myself this. I will never know as much as Apostle Thompson. I tell myself that. I don't care how much the Holy Spirit talked to me. I will never know what he knows. So now, I don't care if you, what you think about me. I don't. I mean, I, you know, it's funny, but I don't. Because I tell myself that. So if I tell myself that, you telling me it ain't no new news. You can't hurt my feelings by telling me that. Or I tell myself something else. Never be more anointed than him. So when you tell me that, there ain't no new news. You can't offend me. It's in myself. Is this making? So therefore, I don't have to go impress nobody else. So therefore, I can wait, because that's the apostolic house I'm in. I can wait till God speaks to my apostle. And then, God would then begin to speak to me. Are y'all seeing this? And because I'm for what he wants, God can talk to me clearer. And I know what part I play. So nobody can tell me anything. You know, you got revelation. I don't care. I still don't know as much as he knows. Because I tell myself this. Are y'all getting this? Because what happens in the church is leaders to lead because of their connection to God. We want leaders to lead because of their knowledge. Moses, even though he was well educated, but when Moses started working for God, Moses all of a sudden became very uneducated, because now he's starting to deal with Pharaoh. God, look, matter of fact, he was more intimidated because he said, I've been on the inside with Pharaoh. I know I can't deal with this, God. Matter of fact, Moses was trying to back out of it. God, I can't go up against that, deal with that. God said, look, I'm going to be with you. Go, I'm going to be with you. Now watch this. Watch this. Miriam, let's see who Miriam is. Miriam is the one who took the basket and helped him get, as he was a baby, helped him get to safety. All right. Miriam was the one that alerted, she knows somebody that can nurse Moses, who was his mama. All right. Miriam was the one who undergirded Moses. Right. So when Moses married who he wanted to marry and Miriam came against him, all that Miriam had done didn't mount up to a hill of beans because she wasn't the one. So God dealt with Miriam because God, watch what, if you go back and read Numbers, God told Abe, told him, call God, Moses, go get Miriam and Aaron and bring them to the court, bring them to the holy of the holy. Bring them here. Bring them to the tabernacle. I'm trying to help you. We must understand, especially in the apostolic house, we must understand that those that God has chosen are going to have His ear more than us. That's one of them, because of the society we live in. That's hard for us to take. Because we live in this particular for himself. So if we live in a country where it's every man for himself, liberties, freedoms, I do what I want to do, I don't want you telling me what to do, I don't want you holding me accountable for nothing. Are you seeing this? It breeds that we can bring this into the kingdom. And that's not how the kingdom works. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Liberty. So the freest place that you will ever be is in the apostolic. Because, watch this, in the apostolic, you're going to be doing everything that you were designed to do. Every problem you face, you're not going to have to face it on your own. And you're going to have life with you. Are you seeing this? So the reason why God told Moses, bring him to the court, then God said, if I want to talk to you, Miriam and Aaron, I'm a sinner prophet. He said, but when I want to talk to Moses, I'm talking about face to face. Are you seeing this? So watch this. I want apostle to talk to God face to face. I want him, whoever your apostolic leader is, I want them to talk to God face to face. So when they, I now have direction. I now have instructions. Listen, if it wasn't for Moses' mouth, the children of Israel would have not known how to put that blood over the mantle, over the doorpost. That didn't come, ain't none of them got no revelation from God. If it wasn't for Moses, listen to me, because I'm about to set you free. This is why it's important that you have honor for your man or woman of God, because you want to clear the air that when they are talking, God can talk directly to you. I don't know how many times I'm sitting in service, an apostle is teaching and alerts me, and he's talking directly to me. I got direction. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know my next move. Are you seeing this? The children of Israel didn't know they were going to become rich until Moses told them, go borrow. They didn't know. They didn't know Moses stretched out the rod. Are y'all seeing this? So, in covenant to covenant, that's why it has to be an exchange of hearts. Because if your heart is not exchanged, that means ownership of your heart. When you have full ownership of your heart, that means you can change at the drop of a hat. There's a certain level in covenant. We're going to get into all this. There's a certain level in covenant where you cannot turn your back. Now, disclaimer. This is why you don't come to covenant with nobody quickly. You got to check. You got to see what they do, what fruit they producing. Y'all single people, don't be talking about, oh, she the one, he the one. Oh, how long have been dating? Oh, we dating 3 months. You don't know them. you don't know them. They're gonna be nice. You need to get to that moment where the beast come out. Can you handle the beast? If you can handle the beast, they might be the one. Might be right, because covenant is for the long haul. Covenant, we have an agenda. If I got to keep changing parts out, I'm never going to get to where I'm getting to. That's what God is. I'm never going to get to where I want to get to if I got to keep changing parts out. If Abraham don't have Eliezer was in his house as a servant, he was around Abraham, but Abraham wasn't sure if he had his heart. He knew for a fact that Isaac was going to have his heart. Why? Because he's going to put his heart. So that's because now I don't care how apostle, he can make you mad as you want. I'm going home, sit down, and say, God, look, you told me to be here. This is what you told me to do. Now, whatever I got to do, Lord, whatever. God can honor that. God can honor that because now he knows, thank you, ma'am. Now he knows you can go the long haul. The reason why he understood that he was ready to tell Abraham, I'm your rapidly increasing money supply, is because as soon as he gave him tithes of all, and watch this, there was no law. Ain't no law. It wasn't no law about tithing. The law of tithing didn't come to, I think, Exodus or Deuteronomy, one out of two. The law came later. And Malachi was just. So when he gave tithes of all, he was telling God, God, I'm giving you my heart. He did it. He did it without a law. It was straight revelation for him. It was God. Go back to Isaiah 59. When God's people who are instruments, I said this already, instruments are agents of change and transformation. God's plan and purpose are delayed in execution. I'm reading right under the process of decline. God's plan and purpose are delayed in execution. All that God wants to do is on pause. And the purpose of God are delayed and sometimes become aborted. See, when there's no accountability, there's no checks and balances. And I'm not talking about checks and balances from deacons. I'm not talking about checks and balances from board of directors. I'm talking about checks and balances from the brethren and sisters holding each other accountable. When the church has no agenda from God, the church becomes more like the world. So now, since we can't change you, we're going to change so we can attract you. That's why sin creates all this sin running rampant in the church. You know, these preachers, because no accountability. Listen, every man in World Life Christian Center know you better not be messing up. Am I right? Every man in work need know. Apostle, look. Accountability. Covenant. Agenda. Sin cuts us off. Watch this. Look at the first one. 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Other words, God is not calling. Hurry up. Watch this. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So because of the lack of covenant, there's no accountability. Sin creeps into the church. That's one of the things, because there's no outside order and nobody called. That's why this grace message came about. This hyper grace message. Oh, you can do whatever you want. God gonna forgive you. I'm gonna close with this. Go to Hebrews 10. I'm trying to kill that message with everything in me. Because if I'm light, so if I'm going to be a light, I have to be different than darkness. I can't be light and look the same as darkness. Are you seeing this? Hebrews 10. Watch this. Hebrews 10. Verse 26. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So in other words, this scripture is telling us if we take grace as an excuse to sin, grace ain't really working for us. Watch what it says. Looking for judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden under the foot he sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the spirit of grace. Let me explain what he's saying. What Paul was saying is, when you sin on purpose, knowing after finding out the truth, what you're saying is the blood is unholy. And therefore, so therefore, when we have covenant, I'm closing with this. When we have covenant, that means that there are accountabilities in place that if I have a weakness, the person I'm in covenant with can cover me. And so that I can, watch this, can check me so that I can understand this. Watch this. So therefore, this grace message is this hyper grace message is a direct enemy to covenant. Because if I can't look at my brother and sister and say, and I know they're in sin, and say, you in sin. That ain't judgment. I'm letting you know you need to get back in line. I'll see y'all next week.